New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Greetings, Bible believers. And Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, the Bible says, the churches of Christ salute you. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26 that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, Herod Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says that we're not to be ashamed if we suffer for being a Christian. And in Weymouth, Moffat, and Goodspeed translations in Galatians 1:22, the Bible talks about the Christian churches of Judea. Bible friend, what is your relationship to the church? What have you been taught about the church? Have you been taught that one church is as good as another? Well, that of course is a false statement. You do not have the freedom to choose the church of your choice. If you're going to heaven, you must choose the church of Christ's choice as it is set forth on the pages of the Bible. Have you been taught that you can believe anything as long as you're sincere? That also is false. You don't have a right to believe whatever you want to believe if you want to go to heaven. You have to go God's way. And so therefore we forfeit these personal freedoms in order to accept the freedom of the gospel if we want to be saved. We've been talking on the very, very important subject of the Lord's church. We hear a lot of things said about the church. We hear them say on the radio. We hear it read. We hear it on television. Join the church of your choice. Did Jesus come down here to die for the church of your choice or the church of my choice? Or did he come down here on a specific mission to establish a specific church? Yes, the answer to that is in the affirmative. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. He never said, upon this rock I'll build my churches. He never said, upon this rock you build your church and I'll build mine and we'll all go together and have a good time. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and that's in the singular. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church. Again, that is singular. It's not your church, my church, the church of your choice. It's the church that's described on the pages of the Word of God. The Bible says that the Lord added to the church. Now the term churches is used when it's referring to more than one congregation. But in Bible days, each congregation was independent. There wasn't a pope or a bishop or a cardinal or a president or a pastor that had authority outside of the local church of which he was a member. This notion where a bishop or a prelate is over many, many churches or a world of churches is foreign to the teachings of the Word of God. The Word of God teaches that each individual church was independent, took care of its own plan, took care of its own problems, and owned its own property. We see the problem which denominationalism is causing today when churches made up of individuals who over a period of many years have repaired the roof and paid for the pews. If they want to go another direction, the denomination says you go out the door, but you leave the building you bought and paid for here. You see, the denominational program owns the building. The same thing is true with Romanism, as is true with much of higher Protestantism, and so this notion of church control and where individuals have control over the churches from the headquarters is foreign to the teachings of the Word of God. I'm thankful that as a young man in the Ocean View Church of Christ in Ocean View, Delaware, I was taught to read the Bible and taught the truth about the church, how that the church wasn't a part of a big organization over which one man served as the head somewhere in some strange city. I was taught that each church was independent, took care of its own problems, paid its own bills, and owned its own property. We have a lot to learn about the church if we're going to go back and follow the Bible. How many of you are willing to really follow the Word of God? Do you want to follow some denomination that was organized over 1,000 years after the church? Do you want to follow Romanism that was organized hundreds of years after the first church? You see, Romanism and Protestantism is all Johnny-come-lately man-made bootshine moonshine religion when it comes to the original. And we're not preaching out of hate or derision. We're just trying to say we're thankful to be a part of an organization called the church where people have come from various backgrounds, all kinds of backgrounds,
all kinds of denominational backgrounds, Protestant backgrounds, Catholic backgrounds, in order to shed and get rid of all man-made doctrines and creeds and names and notions and organizations and restore the church as it's described on the pages of the Word of God. Someone says, I know that's the way it ought to be. And for over 50 years I've been preaching this, and no matter where I preached it, among people of Roman Catholic background, Protestant background, denominational background, whenever I advocated that the church ought to go back and be what it was in the first century, calling Bible things by Bible names, having no headquarters but heaven, across denominational barriers, both Catholic and Protestant, they've all admitted that that's the way that it ought to be. Well, brothers and sisters, that's not only the way it ought to be, that's the way it is. And when Jesus comes, we'll give an account if we've gone this way or that way, if we've gotten off of the way which the Bible so clearly portrays. Jesus says, I am the way, and so we must follow Him. He's the way. He's the light of the world. He's the water of life. He died for the church, and so we must listen to Him when it comes to what we believe about the Lord's church. Someone says, what does the Bible plainly say? Let's just forget for a period of time Romanism and Protestantism, and we have love for everybody. And there's much good in all of these groups. There's many people that believe many right things, but traditions have been added to draw them away from the original. And what we're trying to do is to encourage people to prune their spiritual lives and cut away things that have been added by men and restore the original church in name, in doctrine, in practice, in plan, in salvation. Restore the original church as it is described on the pages of the Word of God. This might seem to be hard preaching, but it's the truth. All we're trying to do is to get people to go back to the church that Jesus built. Jesus said in Matthew 16, upon this rock I will build my church. And so that means Ray Bennett keeps his hands off of it. It means that bishops and presidents and prelates and popes and pastors don't tamper with the church. Don't set up organizations to put out legalistic notions for the church to follow. We have the plan. That's the Bible. We don't need more creeds. We don't need more catechisms. We don't need more direction. We don't need more headquarters. Jesus is the head, and He is in heaven. And so the headquarters of the Church of Christ is in heaven. And if the headquarters of your church is not in heaven, you better get somewhere where the church headquarters are in heaven, because Jesus is the head of the church. The Bible teaches that He's the head of the church. Read the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, chapter 1. God has given Him, that is Christ. That's not man. That's not someone that's elected by a group of preachers. Jesus is the head of the church. And where's Jesus? Everyone says He ascended back to heaven. And so Jesus is the head of the church. And if He's the head of the church and He's in heaven, then the headquarters of the Lord's church, the headquarters of the Bible church, the headquarters of the true church is in heaven, because Jesus is the head of the church, and He's in heaven waiting the orders of the Father to come back after His church. When Jesus returns, He's not coming back after some organization that man has set up. We're only going to be saved when we follow the faithful teachings of the Lord and His church. America has gone crazy when it comes to religion. Why, a man can die drunk and be a drunk in this country, and the national press will talk about how he's playing on the back nine in heaven with Mary and Martha and Peter and Paul on the great golf course of Glory Land. My friends, not everyone even that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom. Many are called and few are chosen. And when a person that is immoral, without repenting, dies and goes out into eternity, that person is lost. Why, the airways are filled with that today. But you're lost outside of Christ. You're lost outside of the kingdom. You're lost if you die in alcoholism and drug addiction and in rejection of Christ. There's no one great big heaven for everybody on the planet Earth. It is a prepared place for a prepared people. And only the ones that obey the gospel of Jesus Christ are going to be in that place called heaven. Someone says, preacher, are you being so narrow as to say that only people that believe in Jesus Christ are going to heaven? That is exactly what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. And it's only by being a holy, living, obedient member of the body of Christ, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the churches of Christ salute you in Romans 16:16. And only by being a part of the church described in the Bible and living faithful unto death, only that way will anyone enter into the kingdom of heaven. Someone says, well, my aunt this was a fine lady. You're not saved by being a fine lady. You're saved by being saved. When you're saved, you're going to be a fine lady, but it takes more than being one of the good old boys in order to go to heaven. You've got to obey the gospel, the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. In Acts 2:47, the Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And after the church was founded, the church had to endure much hardship. It's not going to be an easy road if you're a member of the true church and you truly stand for the Lord. The Bible says in Acts 8:1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that same time was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. In Acts 8:3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. In Acts 11:22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem. They heard about how that the church was prospering. In the 11th chapter of the book of Acts 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. There's between 70 and 80 references to the church. And Jesus organized it. He planned it. He's the head of it. The headquarters is where He is. The church is the body of Christ. It's the kingdom of God. It's the source of salvation. No one outside of the church is going to be saved. That's why the Bible says we're not to add to these words of prophecy or take away, because it's been settled and written in stone and it is established in heaven forever and cannot be changed. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and He's the way, and He's the truth, and He's the life. In the book of Ephesians 5:24, the Bible says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Now, there's much more information there, but the Bible here is teaching that the church is subject to Christ. The church is not subject to denominational headquarters. The church is not subject to the Pope or to the pastor. The church is not subject to the minister or to the evangelist. The church is not even subject to the elders. The church is subject to Christ. Therefore, as the church, the Bible says, is subject unto Christ. And the Bible says that the Lord wants His church to be a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So if you want to go to heaven, get your head screwed on straight about the church, because there's only salvation in the Lord's church, and the church is described on the pages of the Bible. More next week. It's invitation time now. We always remind people of the invitation to believe the gospel and to repent of your sins and to be immersed into Christ and to be baptized for the remission of sins. It was wonderful to see that 85-year-old woman on a cane down in Englewood, Florida, come up out of that watery grave of Christian baptism rejoicing that she'd been added to the kingdom, added to the church by the Lord. You can be added if you'll obey, and then you must continue to be faithful and true unto Him. Let's close with prayer. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, for the gospel, for the plan of salvation. And I thank you for the church, and help people to study what the Bible says about the church and to be a part of it by being added by the Lord through Jesus. I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.